Harper Audio presents The Master Butcher's Singing Club, written and read by Louise Erdrich. 1. The Last Link. Fidelis walked home from the Great War in 12 days and slept 38 hours once he crawled into his childhood bed. When he woke in Germany in late November of the year 1918, he was only a few centimeters away from becoming French on Clemenceau and Wilson's redrawn map, a fact that mattered nothing compared to what there might be to eat. He pushed aside the white eiderdown that his mother had aired and restuffed every spring since he was 6 years old. Although she had tried with repeated scrubbings to remove from its cover the stains of a bloody nose he'd suffered at 13, the faint spot was still there, faded to a pale tea brown and shaped like a jagged nest. He smelled food cooking, just a paltry steam, but enough to inspire optimism. Potatoes, maybe. A bit of soft cheese. An egg. He hoped for an egg. The bed was commodious, soft, and after his many strange and miserable beds of the past 3 years, it was of such perfect comfort that he'd shuddered when first lying down. Fidelis had fallen asleep to the sound of his mother's quiet, full, joyous weeping. He thought he still heard her now, but it was the sunlight. The light pouring through the curtains made a liquid sound, he thought, an emotional and female sound as it moved across the ivory wall. After a while, he decided that he heard the light because he was clean, disorientingly clean. 2 nights ago, before he'd entered the house, he begged to bathe in a washtub out in the tiny roofed courtyard beneath the grape arbor. They built a fire to warm the water. His sister, Maria Teresa, picked the lice from his hair, and his father brought fresh clothing. In order to endure all that the war necessitated, including his own filth, Fidelis had shut down his senses. As he opened to the world again, everything around him was distressingly intense, and all things were possessed of feeling, alive, as in a powerful dream. Quietness reverberated in his head. Ordinary sounds, people outside in the streets, seemed marvelous as the chatter of rare monkeys. A thrill of delight crashed through him. Even to put on his clean and vermin-free clothing was a task so full of meaning that the fastening of his grandfather's gold boar's head cufflinks nearly made him weep. Breathing low, he collected himself and stilled his tears with the power of his quietness. Ever since he was a child, when sorrow had come down upon him, he'd breathed lightly and gone motionless. As a young soldier, he'd known from the first that in his talent for stillness lay the key to his survival. It had carried him through the war as a pitifully green recruit, of whom it was soon discovered that, from a sniping post, he could drill a man's eye at 100 meters and make 3 of 5 shots. Now that he was home, he understood, he must still be vigilant. Memories would creep upon him, emotions sabotage his thinking brain. To come alive after dying to himself was dangerous. There was far too much to feel, so he must seek, he thought, only shallow sensations. Now he tried to adjust. He must slowly awaken, even to this childhood room he knew so well. He sat down at the edge of the bed. On a thick shelf set into the wall, his books stood in lines or stacked as he'd left them, marked with thin strips of paper. For a time, though his occupation was assured, he'd cherished the vision of himself as a poet. Therefore, his shelves were stacked with volumes of his heroes, Goethe, Heine, Rilke, and even Trockel, hidden behind the others. He looked at them now with dull curiosity. How could he ever have cared what such men said? What did their words matter? His childhood history was also in this room, his toy soldiers still arranged on the sill, and his young man's pride, his diplomas and his guild papers framed on the wall. These things did matter. These
Sample complete. Ready to continue?